The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You appoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you. We have three psalms for our scriptures this morning. The second two, Psalm 139 and Psalm 103, I did not put the page number in for these two because I'm reading selections for both of them. They're rather long, and I'm reading from a different version. So these you just have to listen to. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where could I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave, you are there. If I'm taken by the wings of the morning and blown to the farthest limits of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. And the second psalm is number 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all of God's benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. God made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. God will not always accuse, nor will God be angry forever. God does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is God's steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far God removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For God knows how we were made and remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days, our days, are like grass. We flourish like a flower in the field, for the wind passes over us and we are gone, and our place knows us no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. This ends our readings for this Sunday morning. God speaks through us through the words and music of these psalms, and when God speaks, those words are always true we can always trust them. Would you pray with me, please? May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I read these psalms to be reminded who God is and to remind myself that I dwell every moment in my own little corner of the divine heart. Because the truth is, I trust this far too little and I forget this far too easily. I read these poems to be reminded that the place I have in the heart of God is mine, not because of who I am, not because of what I do or what I believe. It is mine not because of the color of my skin or who I love or who I vote for or where I was born. Rather, my place and your place in God's heart is ours simply because God loves. We live today and forever in the heart of God. Nothing or no one can take us away from this. No one would even dare try to take us away. And that, I think, is a comforting thought. Now, we're not going to do a line-by-line study of these poems because that's not the best way to read poetry. Instead, I want to reflect on the image of God, the picture of God, that these poems create. Who is this God character? That's the question the poet is exploring here. What is God really like? So as you listen to his answer, pay attention not to what he says, but to how his words make you feel. Listen, in other words, with your heart. What is God like? Like this. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. God will not always accuse. God will not be angry forever. God does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Now assume, for just a moment, that all of this is true, that these words paint as accurate a picture of the divinity as a human poet can create. Suppose that mercy and grace and abundant love are what God is, that it is true that God will not accuse forever, and then even when God does get mad, God does not stay mad. And suppose that when the God who is mercy and grace looks at us, this divine grace and this divine gaze does in fact heal us of all of our diseases, all of our iniquities. Suppose, in other words, that there is no payback with God. There is no keeping score with God. Just sit with that for a second. Because if this is true, and on my good days I believe it is, then it seems to me there are a lot of things that we hold on to that we could just as well let go. I don't know what this is like for you, but for me, 3 a.m. is the worst time of the day or night. 3 a.m. is when I bolt awake, aware that I have been thinking in my sleep of all the things I have to do in the coming day. And then in that middle of the night fog, my thoughts turn to all the things I didn't get done yesterday. Then to the long list of things that I could have done better than I did. And from there, just for good, you know, for good measure, my dysfunctioning brain begins vomiting up the long, painful list of everything I have ever done wrong. All the harsh words, all the people I've hurt, the good I could have done but didn't, and the stuff that I should not have done that I did. My stuff, my iniquities, that I can neither forgive nor forget. I really hate these 3 a.m. episodes because they are so blindingly dark. Which is why I really need these two psalms. These words about God from the poet. Because sometimes they can calm my storm. And so sometimes I listen. And when I listen, I hear this. I am not merciful or gracious toward myself, but God is merciful and gracious toward me. I am not slow to anger or quick to drop my accusations of my imagined and my real faults, but God is. Disease and iniquity, these are harsh words, and we own them. They are us. And at 3 a.m., when our defenses are down, when we know well how much we are in need of healing, but in the morning, the poet tells us that God heals these diseases. In fact, God has forgotten our iniquities, the things that keep us up at night. Why? Because God is mercy. God is grace. Because God is abundant, steadfast love. Because God sees us not as we see ourselves, but as God created us to be. This, the poet says, is true. You can trust these words forever and for always. Beyond your hopes, beyond your imagination, beyond your ability to believe, beyond your faith, this is still true forever. As the heavens are high above the earth, can you even imagine how high the heavens are above the earth? Billions of light years above. Probably we can't do that because it's almost unimaginable. Yet this unimaginable distance is the measure of God's steadfast love for the creation. As far as the east is from the west, like the heavens above the earth, east and west are infinitely far apart. You will never get east by going west, never. But that's how far we would have to go to find where God has ferreted away our failures. They are forever out of our reach. I would even be so bold as to say they are beyond God's reach as well. As a father has compassion for his children, and no doubt more so, God is compassion toward us. The one who created us and redeemed us, who knows our names and remembers our faces, knows how we were made. God knows that we are dust. Now, nothing I'm saying suggests we need no improvement. I certainly do, and I bet you do too. And nothing I'm saying suggests that what we do makes no difference. Our choices, in fact, have eternal consequences. The sins of the fathers, Moses said, will impact the children to the third and fourth generation. How we live matters. So we'd best learn to live carefully and compassionately and peacefully. But there is a deeper mystery here, a substantial comfort and good news to be found in this poem and this word from God, and it is this. Nothing about us surprises God. Nothing about us discourages God. Nothing about us, nothing, limits the kindness of God. This is the word of God to us today. It is true. We can trust it. I don't know what more to say, but perhaps this will suffice. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen.